Okay, folks, happy Friday, and welcome to this PFA review session. You should all have the PFA in front of you for my client, George.
And Jim Rhodes.
The first thing I do on reading a PFA really is go through the information at least once, and then sometimes I'll go over again. But over the years, I've known that what my typical buyer profile is. You know, they're mostly males in their 50s. They usually have a working spouse. So in this case, you know, I have male. He's in his late 40s, early 50s. He's divorced, and he has no dependents. So, you know, kind of free and easy guy. I look at their position, but I always want to look at their recent annual income because it'll lead me to a question later on of, what target is he setting for himself? You know, is it important to get back to this dollar figure? And how soon do we have to get back to it? So here you see a guy who's, you know, was making a pretty good buck. So that's going to be an important conversation, you know, later on. As I go through this, I kind of look at what he's gone through and whatever. I'm looking for clues as to what type of guy he is. You know, I mean, some of these answers are pretty stock. You know, I just started and at this point, blah, blah, blah. I always like to look at their greatest business achievement. It says managing a successful regional sales team in a Fortune 50 company. Okay, so this tells me that this guy views himself as a leader and he's results-oriented. And working with a Fortune 50 company, usually these guys have a pretty good sense about themselves. Sometimes they may have a big ego. So I'm going to kind of keep that to the side and, you know, maybe ask some questions later on about his image important, you know, what kind of things, what kind of car does he drive, stuff like just for little clues. He's got hobbies, golf, tennis, music, gardening, da-da-da. So he likes to be outside. He likes to be active. You know, he's not going to be happy in a passive environment type of deal. Here's the greatest clues that I always like. You know, what did you like about your work situation? And look at this guy. Achieving a sales goal and sharing success with a team. Right now in my mind, I'm thinking this guy's going to be an achiever belonger. And I write it down just to see if I'm right. It's a little game I play with myself. But just to see if I get enough clues. What did you like least? Well, he doesn't like the trappings of the big corporate job, the 70 hours a week, the 150 emails per day. He's probably looking for something where it's probably in a situation where I think work-life balance is going to play a big part, and that's going to be tied into that money question with his salary. Because I'll ask a question like, at this stage of your life, is money more important than time or is time more important than money? And that'll give me a clue as to what the way he's thinking, and, you know, if it's more time, then, you know, we probably don't need to get back to that $275,000 figure. So that opens up the conversation for lots of other things. His sales interest comes out good, which is always nice. It's always a drag when you see somebody's sales interest at a 1 and rate their sales ability as a 2. You know, it kind of limits the choices that we're going to have. And he thinks his strengths are leadership and team building, planning, sales, marketing. So, again, it ties into what he was saying before. He's being consistent in his answers, which is something I like. You know, the guy has put some thought into it, and, you know, he's thinking consistently. And his weaknesses, building and managing operational success, which is kind of a contradiction to me, or it just could mean, as your typical sales guy, you hate paperwork, you hate forecasting, you hate all that stuff. You know, he's more of a doer than a planner. Businesses that, or the way he would get businesses, you know, he's all over the place, and that's fine. So we get a lot of operations. I look at this, his initial involvement could be owner-operator, but eventually he wants to be absentee. So I'm going to put a note there, and I'm going to remind myself that somewhere along the way, we're going to have a conversation about exit strategy. What does he see as an exit strategy? How far will it be? You know, what are the possibilities? You know, where does he see himself, you know, maybe 5, 8, 10 years down the road, or wherever he wants, the number is that he wants to retire at. This page was uneventful. I mean, a proven and replicated system is important to him, right? Recognized franchise brand wasn't, though. He doesn't care. So this guy could be good for one of our early adapter concepts. So I make a note on that one. Potentially significant growth, important professional. You know, he sees himself as a professional, so not really liking the trades so much. So he sees himself more as a white-collar guy. Service retail B2B, it's okay. Doesn't care about the location. Anyone can be his customer, product service. His cash investment level, he put 50 to 99. So if we were to go replace that $275,000 price tag that he has on his, you know, or his salary, then that might be a little low. So this, I would put a note on that saying, is that just his cash? Is he okay with funding? And, you know, what kind of line in the sand is he not willing to cross? And it's just for, again, a note for a future conversation. Time frame to be in business, 3 to 6 months, that's great. Deciding 1 to 3, that's also good. He puts his need for personal income at 6 to 12 months. That's too wide a gap for me, so I'm going to try to narrow that down, and we're going to have a conversation about his finances and, you know, what's his burn rate at home and so on and so forth. Because if you look at his financials, he's got plenty of cash right now. You know, he's got 170 grand in cash. That's his severance that just got paid off. So that's good, and that can keep him going for a while, as long as it's not, you know, he's not burning $15,000 a month, which I doubt because he's single and has no dependents. But you can see he's got plenty of money in his IRA, some more in his 401k. He's not upside down on his house. You know, so this guy has money to do things. I don't know about you guys when you get PFAs, but I rarely get the liquid capital amount to finance total investment columns filled out. So I don't worry about it. I'm going to ask those questions anyway. So let's see if I was right on his values and motives. And I'm going to go to the next page, Achiever Belonger. There you go. So I pat myself on the back on that one. I was right. Just one of the little games I play. What I look for in this page, a client at a glance page, okay, I always go first to compliance, because compliance will tell me if this guy will be good for franchising. Is he coachable? Is he going to follow the system? Because if I get somebody who scores on low, they could be a great business owner. They'll just make a lousy franchisee, and we're going to have a conversation about that. So his compliance, as you see, came back high, so that's good news. Core competencies, I look at that, like here you have it at marketing and advertising and client management and support, but I always want to look at the complete graph that is on page, what page is this? The core competency page, I don't have it numbered, but I think it's page 12. And if you scroll down to that page, you will see where we have the bars on technical, administrative, client services, marketing, and sales. So you'll see where his how far up those columns are. So I'm a little surprised when I saw this that his sales was so much lower than services, marketing, and administrative that he said he sucks at and doesn't like to do. But he's been a sales manager, a sales leader. So, you know, we may have a conversation about, you know, the last time you went and did some active selling is, you know, what if we look at a concept that requires you to do the selling, are you okay with that? You know, where do you see yourself? And again, a note to have just a deeper conversation with this prospect when we sit down. So if we go back to that other page again, work style director that goes with what he was focused, autocratic for his leadership style. all classic stuff for a sales manager, and I really don't spend a whole lot of time on that. His sales potential is high. Cool. We like that. His business development, single unit, multi-unit. So that's great because depending on how he sees it, we talked about being an absentee owner. Well, maybe that's something we develop right from the get-go. And you can see sales orientation is consultative and relational. So we're going to have to talk about concepts that may be marketing-driven, where customers come to him and he talks about what the process is. You know, he's not going to be your aggressive, win-at-all-cost type salesperson. So we looked at AB. You can see the emulator column is fairly high as well. And so I think that that's going to tell me that when we look back and see that he was okay with early stage, you know, but not on the blue-collar stuff, it gives me a clue as to kind of concept he's going to look. His societal's not that high anyway. His hierarchy of values, there were no wild cards on this one, which is cool, you know. So we can talk about achievement. What is your definition of achievement? You know, what does achievement look like? I want to hear it from him. I don't want to assume anything. I want to hear it directly from him. So I use these to formulate questions. You know, his second one is results. Well, okay, let's talk about results. What would be acceptable results? Time frame, money, so on and so forth. And team. I wasn't surprised at the team one because he's been a team leader. So, you know, do you see yourself leading the team or do you yourself being a team of one and then building from there? You know, how are you viewing this now and what would be your best case scenario? Again, I'm trying to draw him out and get as much information as I can. Like I said, work style director, focused, you know, I kind of blow by that stuff most of the time. But I will show him the graph when we get on that core competencies page, because I want him to understand, you know, how his scores came out. And we may talk about, gee, I'm surprised that your sales was so low compared to some of the other one. Why do you think that is? You know, and get his information, his input on it. Again, I'm trying to build trust and trying to make sure that him and I are on the same page and that he sees that I'm working towards getting on the same page, that I'm not making assumptions, that I'm not holding this as the, you know, the truth. I want his input on it so that we're building this as a team. And, you know, the people appreciate that a lot. The meta programs away from, okay, so when I talk about direction sort, I tell people, you know, people usually fall into two categories. You're either going towards an opportunity or you're going away from risk. And the way I explain away is that you're the type of person, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to look at an opportunity and you're going to see everything that could go wrong before you see things that could go right. Is that a fair statement? And most of the time, people will chuckle and say, yeah, probably, and, you know, I don't get any pushback on it. So I said, okay, so given that, I need your permission to once in a while, I'm going to challenge you on these things and say, hey, you're looking at it, the sky is falling attitude, you know, you have to see what can go right on this. And, you know, everybody always, oh, yes, I expect you to challenge me on this and blah, blah, blah. But that's cool. You ask permission in a nice way. You can make a joke out of it. But, again, I'm trying to bond. His external frame of reference is okay. I mean, it's either external or internal. External is you'll gather a lot of information from people. What I will say on that one is what I will counsel you on is that everybody has an opinion. But you will have more information for an informed opinion than other people, because you are reading the FDD, you are talking to the franchisees, and so on and so forth. So you have to be careful. You have to take people's opinions with a grain of salt, because they're coming maybe from a place of caring, but they're not coming from a place of knowledge. Does that make sense? And, of course, they'll say yes. Task attitude, procedural, global. I love this. This is a great chunk task attitude profile for me, because a global can see – the big picture. He can see it built, done, working at the end. And the procedural side of him will want to know, okay, how do I get there? So for franchising, I think that is a great mix. You know, when you have a global guy that's not a procedural, sometimes you have to back them off a little bit. They just see what it's going to be 3 years from now but have no idea how to get there. You know, so procedural and global, that's a perfect fit for me. His communication style is kinesthetic. I'm not the best with kinesthetic. I do better with visuals. But kinesthetic, the line that I will say is, you're a kinesthetic guy. You're a gut feel type of guy. It has to feel good in your, even if it looks good but it doesn't feel right in your gut, you're not going to do it, are you? And everybody says, yeah, that's absolutely dead on. I rely on my gut and whatever. So, okay. So we're on the same page on that. And I'm using all of this just to, you know, to bond with the guy and get him comfortable with me comfortable with him, lining up some further questions so we can go deeper into it. The last page I really don't really work with because I don't want him to get a preconceived idea of what we're going to look at, and I don't want him to get the idea that, hey, a computer spit this out for me. I want him to feel that we're doing this together on, you know, a human level and not a computer level, if that makes sense. But I will look at it on my own before I start picking companies. You know, I don't really go through it really in depth with the client. And all this has lined up some other questions so we can have a deeper conversation. I don't know if you guys use that pre-meeting questionnaire that we have, but I use it a lot because it gives, and the way that I use it is I send it on the confirmation and I ask them to fill it out with their spouse because it's a family decision. And I tell them, it'll give you time to think about your answer so you're not winging it on the fly. And I get some really good nuggets on those things about, you know, especially about what does retirement look like, funding, you know, the passions and so on and so forth. So this guy was an interesting guy. He's in the process right now. Anybody want to hazard a guess as to what he's looking at? Crickets. I hear crickets. The line's muted or something? Probably.
Nope.
Anyway.
They are not.
They are not? Jeez.
They are not
this
muted.
This is the audience participation part of the show, folks.
I'll say Sign World.
That Sign World is correct.
Really?
That was one of them, yes. What else?
Renaissance Executive Forums?
Well, Renaissance is sold out in my market, so I presented TAB.
Okay.
So mark your 2 for 2.
1.5.
1.5.
I should have known it was sold out in Connecticut. Shame on me.
There's one more that may surprise people. And the third business he looked at is Oasis. Which I was kind of surprised at, but it was an early stage, which he likes, you know. But I was surprised that he would gravitate towards it because his societal bar was kind of low, but he was digging the sales aspect of it, the relationship aspect of it, the quick turnaround. So that was the third business that he looked at.
Which one was that again?
Oasis.
Okay.
I touched on EES as well, you know, for early stage and whatever. But like we saw in the profile, he really didn't go for it, you know, too blue collar for him. And I kind of knew that, but I threw it out anyway just to see what his reaction would be. And his reaction was pretty much what I thought it would be. Now, to get back on the income conversation and time versus money, this is a guy right now who's kind of looking to decompress, have some fun, have a life. You know, he just got divorced. You know, he's kind of starting over. So, you know, the money wasn't the big motivator. Money is nice, but his expenses are under control. He's looking to have time for all the other hobbies and all the other time in his life. So that's what came out of it.
What kind of budget did you establish with him?
We established about 150 liquid, and he would stretch a little for the right opportunity. So the sign world wasn't too bad. You know, it was 185, and he was okay with that. And when we went through his financials, you know, like the severance and everything, we established he had enough money to live on for a good two and a half years. So, you know, he was okay. Any other questions that I can answer?
Was there anything else on your shorter list, DES, that you didn't show or you had in your mind as a backup plan?
That's a good question. Let me pull up my sheet right now on George. I had a whole bunch of stuff written down, but... Okay, George, my short list, I had 9 Round, I had Oasis, I had Sign World, I had Zounds.
Okay.
And I had written down Elements or Hand in Stone, but, you know, it came out quickly that the investment was way too high for that. He wasn't going to stretch for that. So I didn't even really talk about it. Or I talked about it very briefly, and it was like, no, not doing that, too much money, blah, blah, blah. So we moved on.
Luke, I can't remember if you mentioned this or not, but do you send the assessment out before the consultation?
Yes. I do send the – when I send the confirmation for the meeting, I attach his copy of the PFA so he can have a chance to look at it beforehand. I'll attach the pre-meeting questionnaire and ask him to have it filled out so that, you know, I can properly prepare for the one-on-one meeting and stuff. But, yeah, I do send it ahead of time.
Do you get much feedback?
It varies. Most people, when we first sit down, you know, I'll ask them, you got your copy of the PFA? Yes. Did you read it? Most people say yes, and then I'll ask, what'd you think? Is it accurate? And the people have read, oh, yeah, scary accurate. That's me all over. Or, you know, but you can tell people who just skimmed over it and say, well, yeah. I've only had one person really disagree with it, you know, recently. And that was because he thought he was super sales guy and turned out he wasn't.
Okay.
Anybody else? Any other questions that I can answer? Okay, well, Tracy, I guess that's it.
All right, great. Well, thank you very much, Luke.
Appreciate it. I hope everybody has a great weekend.
Thanks, Luke.
You too.
Thank you.
Right. Bye.
Thanks, Luke.
Thank you, Luke.
Thank you, Luke. This is very good.